Welcome to the Heart of an Underdog show with Javi and Jessica, where we talk about how to adapt and overcome your biggest health challenges so that you can beat the odds, turn your pain into purpose, and live in victory. Hey, today on our show, we have Shannon Stone joining us, and you do not want to miss her story of overcoming and healing naturally her endometriosis.
If you're new to our podcast, be sure to subscribe and share this episode with your friends and family. You can download all our episodes at heartofanunderdog.com or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. If you would like to catch our video podcast, head over to our YouTube channel, Adapt and Overcome with Javi and Jessica. We'll put the links below in the description for you.
So let's bring out our guest today. Shannon Stone has been an RN for 15 years and a master clinical herbalist for almost 10 years. Her journey to alternative health began at age 19 with a diagnosis of endometriosis. And when it worsened at age 22, she found alternative ways to help it. She became pregnant at age 28 when they told her that she would never get pregnant due to the severity of her endometriosis. And then 3 years later, she was also diagnosed with ADHD and has now discovered a way to manage that naturally as well. She's also a nomad and travels all over the U.S. in her 21-foot RV with her husband, her kids, and her dogs. She also homeschools the kids while running a business full-time. Let's bring out Shannon Stone. Hey, Shannon, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
Great.
Let's talk about how much of a superhero you are for being a nomad, homeschooling, and running a business in your RV.
Yeah, I guess. Some days it does not feel like I am a superhero, let me tell you that. But yeah, we manage it and it's fun. So
I've always thought life about is good. Doing that. But then I'm like, it sounds amazing. And then I'm like, oh, or maybe I don't want to be that close to everybody every single minute of the day. So I think it's really cool when people can do that because there's definitely pros and cons to everything, right? You get to be out and about, you have the freedom and all of those things in very close quarters.
Yes.
Love that. So tell us a little bit about, I want to go back and start with, tell us about yourself, tell us a little bit more about your family. You just heard about, kind of how you live now, but how would you guys live before you had all of this journey start, or what was going on when you were first diagnosed? Can you just kind of catch us up on that?
Back about 3 years ago now, I was diagnosed with ADHD, and I'd been a nurse for years, and I was doing that with my herbalism on the side. It's like a side job. And I got diagnosed with ADHD, and it was just all my kids have it already, so it was not really a shock that I have it too. So we got that, and there was a lot going on. We were really tired of being in the rat race. I was driving, 45 minutes to work in the morning. It was taking me almost 2 hours to get home at night with rush hour. I was hardly seeing my kids, hardly seeing my husband. And it was just, we were all kind of miserable. And then the ADHD diagnosis just kind of was like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? I don't like doing this anymore. My brain's not made to do this 9-to-5 rat race, crap. So I just really decided that we were going to try something else. My husband and I got talking about it. We were both saying we just want to spend more time together, more time with the kids. There's no point in having a family if you don't ever spend any time with
them.
That's right.
So we started looking up alternative means of living, and I had done travel nursing before. So I was like, hey, maybe we could go back to travel nursing, but didn't know if there was a way to take the family along, because last time I did travel nursing, I was single and it was just me and my dog, and it was a completely different ballgame. So we started looking into it, and I started doing a bunch of YouTube, videos about travel nurses with families. And I found a whole bunch that traveled in their RVs, and I was like, oh, that's actually doable. So I got together with my husband. I was like, so I got an idea and I think it'll totally work. And he's like, yeah, me too. And at the same time, we both said, we should get an RV. We both had the exact same idea. And so I was like, yeah, that actually could work. So we started researching it. And this was like in January of 2019. By February, we had decided we were definitely doing it. So we got our realtor, we put our house up on the market. It sold within 30 days. So we used the profits from that to buy our RV and a truck to pull it. and we sold basically everything in our house and off we went. And we've been traveling ever since. We initially started out with a slightly larger RV, but all of us were in like the first like 20 feet of the RV and no one ever went to the back. So I was like, why are we dragging around like this extra 15, 20 feet? So we downsized to a 21 foot travel trailer toy hauler. So it has a ramp on the back technically that you can use to put your toys up inside, but it also can be made into a deck. Since we don't have any toys, we just use it as a deck. So it gives us like an extra 6 feet of living space when the weather's nice. So that is wonderful. The kids love it. They sit out in the deck all the time. The dogs live out there. It has a whole fence around it. So the dogs can be out there and be outside, but not on it. Unattended, you know, and they can't go anywhere. So they love it. So we've been doing this now since, we started traveling May of 2019 after we sold the house and got everything, you know, situated. We were actually planning on staying put for a while, and we did for a couple of months. And then my husband got laid off from his job, and we were like, well, I guess now's the best time to just hit the road. So got a travel nursing contract and off we went.
So and, this is like, talk about, and this isn't even, you know, the direction that I expected you to go, but I'm so glad you did, because this is the perfect example of resourcefulness.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are like, this is what we're doing. I went and did it. And then as soon as life was like handing you things, you were just adjusting. And that's exactly why you were able to overcome endometriosis and ADHD naturally.
Right. Taking what was important to you and how you wanted to live your life and making it happen. And that's amazing. Now, and I'm sure you've gotten this question many times since, but how did you manage 2020 with that? How did that affect you? Obviously, being a nurse, you're still being a frontline worker, but did that impact your traveling and things like that?
It impacted it slightly. I was in a contract when COVID really started hitting the U.S. hard, and I had 4 days left of it, and the hospital was closing, you know, half the units down and all this stuff, and they were laying off all their own nurses, and all the contract workers went with it. So I had 4 days left on my contract, and they canceled it, and we had another one lined up, but not for about like another month, because we were planning on having time to travel there, right? So called my agency, and they, per the contract written in it, was if they canceled before it was up, they had to pay me 2 weeks of pay. So they went ahead and the hospital paid me 2 weeks of pay, which was good because that gave us the buffer we needed to make it. And we ended up traveling across the country in the middle of like everything being shut down to my next travel assignment. The best thing about that was we have an RV. So I had the ability to cook all of our meals. I had the ability, if we need to stop and use the restroom, we just pulled over to the side of the road. Someone ran inside, went to the bathroom, and off we took again. We didn't have to go inside any stores, anything. Wow. Not touch anything. It made it so much easier to travel in the midst of a pandemic. I didn't have to worry about my kids getting sick or anything, you know, happening. So we made it to our next place, and the campground that we were staying at was under orders from the governor. They could only be at like 25% capacity. And so we were concerned that that meant that we wouldn't be able to get in, because they had a bunch of people that live there year round already, which kind of had them at, you know, max capacity. So we called when we were like a day out from arriving, and they said, oh no, that doesn't count for frontline workers who are coming in to help. They don't count toward the capacity. So you're good to go. We were like, oh, whew, you know, that's because awesome. That was
thank
our
God.
Big
oh, that is, you know, right? It's like a mobile bunker. I was just thinking, this is like his dream come true.
It is.
Like, he's like, yes. If we had a bunker, it would have been great during 2020. But that's like a mobile moving, like, bunker.
And you know, what I noticed, well, what everybody noticed during that time, especially when everything was shut down, traffic was a breeze.
Oh, yeah. No traffic.
Oh, yeah.
Getting around. Yeah.
We made it across the country in like record time because there was no traffic. We didn't get stopped anywhere. We were like, this is like, it was so eerie though, in a way, because there was literally like nobody on the road. Yeah. We'd have like a trucker pass us occasionally, but there's no car coming by. Yeah. It was
it's
the strangest
like Armageddon
thing.
Or something. That's what it was like when we were driving across town and stuff. We were just like, this is weird. Like, if this is like those movies where like, you know, like where nobody's around and you're like, what is that Will Smith movie? It's like that. Yeah, okay. So
for sure.
Now that we, no, this is really good because we kind of understand kind of who you are now. Okay. So I want to take what you just said. So I want you to tell us a little bit more about, go back to when you were talking about your whole battle with endometriosis. What was the story there and how did you overcome endometriosis naturally? What brought you to that conclusion?
Yeah. Well, there is a very good hereditary component to endometriosis. So if a family member of yours has it, the more likely you are to have it. And the closer the family member, the greater the odds. So my mom had had endometriosis and hers was pretty severe, wound up with her having a hysterectomy at like 29 or 30 years old. And the doctor had told her that if she hadn't had all of her kids young, she never would have had us because we were literally like she was so severe at that point. And so we kind of knew that she had this history and that it was a possibility for myself or my sister to get it. But we were both fine, so it didn't seem like any big deal. And then I went off to college. I went off to nursing school, and all of a sudden, like, my life took a turn. I started having these super painful periods that I, like, literally could not even stand up during. I was, like, curled up in the fetal position in my bed in my dorm room, just sobbing. I was missing classes left and right, and I was like, what in the world is happening? This has never happened. I've had perfectly normal periods up until this point. And so on my winter break, I flew home and I went to see my OBGYN, who also happened to have taken care of my mom. So she knew my history and my mom's history. So I went to see him and I was like explaining to him what's going on. And he's like, to be honest, he goes, I'm going to say you probably have endometriosis like your mom. He goes, just from the symptoms, he goes, but the only way to diagnose it is with a diagnostic laparoscopy where we go in and we look inside so we can see it, because you can't see endometriosis on ultrasounds or CTs or any kind of imaging unless it's really severe. And then you typically see the scar tissue, not the actual endometriosis. And I said, okay, well, you know, I'm only here for another week because I got to go back to college. And so he's like, well, let's schedule it for the summer. So went back to college, finished out that last semester, had a horrible time. I lost like 30 pounds without trying because I was so sick from being so painful all the time that I couldn't eat. And I was just like miserable. So I come home and school's over. I pack up, I come home and I go see my doctor again. And he's like, okay, let's get you on the schedule. So I get on the schedule, we do the procedure, and I am just riddled with endometriosis already. And he's like, I hate to tell you this, but it's definitely endometriosis. He goes, and it's honestly more severe than I thought it would be, and that it should be, you know, this early on. And I was like, yay. So yeah, lucky me. I do everything all the way. So we went ahead and, you know, started doing some of the treatments that were available at the time. This was back in like 2003, 2004, somewhere in there. So there wasn't a whole bunch available. The one that was the most popular at the time was called Lupron, and it was an injection, and it basically injected you with a ton of hormones that canceled out your current hormones. And we used it as like a reset is what they said. Mm-hmm. We would basically take all your hormones away, and then after this medicine wore off in like a month or two, your hormones would start back up and it would help kind of kickstart things and it would be whatever. And I was like, at this point, I was in so much pain daily. I was desperate. I was like, sure, let's just try it. So got the first injection and there was some noticeable relief. And I was like, okay, this is going all right. And then went back and got the second one and then got the third one. It was a series of three. And after the third one, I mean, I was feeling fantastic. I was great. I was able to do things, live my life. At this point, I had transferred to a nursing school closer to home because being that far away from my family and my care for my medical care just didn't seem like a good idea. So I was going closer to home. I was able to go back to school and be great. And I was like, this is awesome. And that lasted for about like maybe 6 months to a year before my body really started, you know, doing its own thing again. And when it turned back on, it turned on with a vengeance. And it was like someone was trying to stab through my abdomen with a dull knife from the inside and constantly. And I was like, I can't live like this. So went back to my doctor again and was like, you know, now what can we try? And he wanted to do another round. And I was like, no, it's only temporary. Like it lasted a year, but this is not good for my body to keep injecting this crap into it and resetting my hormones. Like I said, that can't be good for you. And he was like, well, and
it's not, but this is all I do.
Yeah, but this is all that we have, you know? Yeah. So their other option was, well, we'll just stick you on hormonal birth control and it'll be fine. And I was like, well, this seems like the opposite. Like, endometriosis is classically an estrogen dominant disorder. So putting me on an estrogen supplement seems like, you know, poor idea. Like, it seems like we're going backwards and we're adding to the problem. And that was basically the only other solution was, well, if you don't want Lupron, then it has to be hormonal birth control. And if you don't want that, then just suffer. And we can maybe give you some, you know, pain pills that'll help, and maybe they won't, but more than likely you'll end up addicted to them. So, you know, wow. Here, cool. That's your options. And I was like, this is just not good options. By this point, I was like 21-ish, 22-ish, somewhere in there. And I was like, I don't want to do any of those, but I was in so much pain again still. And I was still trying to finish out my last like semester of school that I was like, give me the hormonal birth control. We'll try it. They put me on hormonal birth control. And I am telling you, it turned me into like some kind of raging psycho. I was like, no wonder this works. Wow. No one wants to come near me. I'm never going to get pregnant because like literally people are running away from me. I'm like, I wanted to run away from me, but I was stuck with me. And I was like, wow. After like a month, I was like, I can't do this. As I am like literally going out of my head. I was like, no. So I ended up stopping it and just said, forget it. Finished school out, graduated, got my first nursing job, and moved 2 hours away from my doctor and everything. So started this job. Everything seemed like it calmed down. I think the stress from nursing school probably wasn't helping the endometriosis any. Stress was now lower. So I seemed like I was fine. And I did that for a while. And then I was around 22, 23. I started having really bad symptoms again. I found a doctor up there and I went to see them, gave them my health history, explained what was going on. They did a whole bunch of tests and ran a whole bunch of stuff. And they were basically like, well, from what we can tell, the endometriosis is worsened and it's probably not going to get any better. Oh, and by the way, you can't have kids anymore. I just like walked out of the room and left. And I was like, wait a minute. What was that last part there?
What?
Yeah. And that was it. That was the only care that I got was Whoa. Just that. And there was, and again, I was like, well, what can we do to help? And their only solution was, oh, we'll just put you on some hormonal birth control. And I was like, I tried that. Turn me into a raging psycho. Don't really want it again. And they were like, oh, well, there's different kinds now and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I don't care. Hormonal birth control is hormonal birth control, no matter how you package it or what you say it is. It's all the same thing. And I was like, no, I don't want it. And so they were basically like, well, here, we can give you some naproxen and that can help with your pain. And that's all we're going to do. And I was like, naproxen is basically just ibuprofen on steroids. And I'm like, ibuprofen wasn't touching it. Naproxen's not going to do anything either. And so after that, I was like, you know what? This is ridiculous. I shouldn't have to have only two solutions. It's take pills that don't help or take hormonal birth control that makes things worse, you know? Mm-hmm. So I started really like doing my own research and started looking, and I found a bunch of herbs and supplements that people said it helped them. And so I started just kind of like, okay, well, I'm going to try this over here. I'm going to try that over there and try this over here. And just really started putting together like my own protocol, like I do for my clients now, of things to try and things to take. And I would do it for, you know, a few months, like 3 months, because I had read that you have to do all the things you try for endometriosis for at least 3 months, because mm-hmm. you got to follow the cycle of your ovaries and your follicles and how they mature. So I was like, okay. So I'd try it for 3 months and I'd be keeping notes. And I was like, okay, I didn't notice a difference. We'll stop this. Let's start this over here, you know, until I got it tailored down to what was really working. It was helping with my pain. It was helping wow. with all the other symptoms. It was helping with the horrible periods that came with it. And I was good. So that by this point I was now like 25, 26 by the time I really got it dialed in, because it took a while. When you don't have someone who knows this for a living helping you, you really take a lot of time throwing things at the wall to see what works.
Totally.
And so it took me a while. I got it all toned down. And then at 28, I wound up getting really sick. I was very, very ill. I was constantly like throwing up. I couldn't keep food down. I was miserable. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? Went to all the doctors. Nobody could find anything. They were like, well, let's take a pregnancy test just in case. And I'm like, you know, no, came back negative. They did a blood pregnancy test. It came back negative. And I was still sick for like weeks and weeks. And I was like, something is going on. So I kept going back to the doctor. And then I got to the point where the OBGYN said, well, let's schedule an ultrasound just to make sure there's nothing going on with maybe your ovaries or your uterus that is causing this. And the like week before I was scheduled to go, I was like, woke up and I'm like, you know what? Let's just take the last pregnancy test I have for the hell of it. And I did. And it popped positive. And I was like, oh my God, is this real? So I called my OBGYN up and I was like, so that ultrasound may turn into a different type of ultrasound. And they were like, what do you mean? And I told them that I'd pop positive on a pregnancy test. But at this point, it'd been like 6 weeks. And I was like, I don't know. And they were like, oh, well, that it might be a different issue. So they wanted to reschedule it. And it was going to take them like weeks and weeks to get me in. So I ended up finding another one that would get me in sooner. And we did an ultrasound and all the stuff. And I ended up being like 10 or 11 weeks pregnant already by the time I had actually popped positive on a pregnancy test. And I was like, I really wanted to call that doctor up in Buffalo and be like, ha, I'm pregnant. And you said I never would be. So it was a surprise. And the pregnancy was terrible. I will say that endometriosis and pregnancy don't always mix. And mine certainly did not. But we made it through. I was on bed rest a lot because my body kept trying to reject the pregnancy. It was just not having a good time. So I mainly spent most of it on bed rest. I had to quit working as a nurse because I couldn't be on my feet that much. And so I was basically on bed rest. And then when my water finally broke when I was like 39 weeks and like 4 days pregnant. So I was like right there at the end. Yeah, it broke. We went into the hospital and nothing happened. And I was there from Saturday night. We went in really late Saturday night. So basically Sunday morning. And so all through Sunday, we tried everything naturally we can try. Because I was like, I don't want Pitocin if I don't have to have it, because that gives you horrible labor. And it goes from 0 to 90 in 2 seconds. So we were trying to avoid it. The doctors were all cool with that. This is actually the hospital that I worked at. So they were like totally cool with me trying anything. So we tried everything and nothing. So they finally decided to start the Pitocin. We agreed that, okay, maybe it's time. We were going to just start it, kind of get things going and then go from there. And then probably turn it off once my body got the hang of, hey, we're having a baby now. So we did that. It was on for literally 2 minutes and my baby's heart rate spiked to the 200s and we couldn't get it down with anything we were trying. They turned off the Pitocin. We added extra oxygen. I was walking. I was not walking. I was laying. We tried everything. They gave me oxygen too. I mean, like, it was crazy. We were doing everything and the heart rate was just staying up above the 200s. Well, at this point, then my heart rate's spiking because I'm terrified something's wrong with my baby. And so we went in for an emergency C-section. And so she was born. Everything was fine with her. But then I ended up having a really bad uterine infection that nobody knew about because my body had encased it in my uterus so well that I had no signs and symptoms of an infection anywhere. And so it was just, it was a rough birth. And then we were in the hospital for an extra week because of antibiotics and stuff that we needed. And it was just crazy. But in all of that, I was still super happy because I was like, I just had a baby. They told me I would never have a baby. And I have a baby. And she's now 9 years old. And she's just this fabulous little human. And every day I just feel so lucky to be the person that the universe blessed with this baby when I was told that I would literally never have a baby.
Well, and can I just comment on, a lot of people, when they're talking about naturally overcoming things or being resourceful, most of the time that comes out of, I don't have any options left. It's not like everyone goes, that's why everyone says it's woo-woo. They say, well, I don't really want it. That's not, they're comparing it to, well, obviously you would go with Western medicine. Mm-hmm. Da, da, da. There's nothing wrong with Western medicine. It's just, they just think, well, why wouldn't you? But most of the time that comes when you aren't getting answers there. I know people that have wildly successfully managed their issues, their medical issues with all natural stuff because they're actually allergic to medications. I mean, really nothing, like our daughter, I mean, everything we've tried, she's either been allergic to or it does nothing. She has antibiotics she can't even take because they do nothing. They don't even work. So she's had other medications that she's taken that she's had severe reactions to. So it's like, it's just, people's bodies are different, man. So when you get into that situation, it's not just that you are resourceful, like, I just think this would be better. It was like, no, I literally tried everything. And now I'm forced into a situation where I have to do all my own research. And of course, that's where like these brilliant solutions come because you aren't put in a situation where you have options. So you're looking for options. That's how inventions are made. That's how things are discovered. How many parents out there have had their kids have something that there's no answer to, and they're just, it's their kid. So they're just like, research all the way 100% of the time, and then they figure out something that nobody else knew, and then all of a sudden there's a solution to something that wasn't there before. And I feel like that's a process that is necessary. Unfortunately, some of us have to be the guinea pigs for that process to become the person with the solution, you know, to help other people. So this heart of an underdog, you know, that's what our show is called. That it's like, really a heart of an underdog is a person who is like, I'm coming from behind, I'm not going to take no for an answer, forget that, I'm going to go fix this, because I'm not going to take your no, thank you, you don't get to have kids, here's some naproxen for an answer, that's not working for me. Maybe it would for someone else, it's not for me, I'm not going to accept that. Just like when he was, you know, dealt the cards of heart disease, he was like, yeah, I don't really accept your, you know, your diagnosis of, hey, this is what it's going to be for you, because it won't. It'll be what I decide it's going to be for me, because I have the heart of an underdog, right? So I'm seeing that in your story, I'm loving that. Can you tell our audience just a little bit, maybe, like, about what do you think are the things that they could be thinking through when they're going through something like that? What would be a takeaway that you could give them as far as what do you learned about being resourceful and about finding options for yourself and advocating for yourself when you're going through a medical issue?
Yeah. First thing to always be aware of is that doctors work for you. You're paying them. They as a service. So if you're not liking the answers you're getting, you are welcome and able, and you should fire that doctor and go find a new one. And if you've done this several times and now you're on doctor number 7 and you're still not getting the answers and nobody is willing to, you know, maybe go outside the box and try some things, then it might be time to just fire everybody and go look on your own, you know, for solutions. And it's okay to advocate for yourself. I think there's this thing, especially in America, that like doctors are infallible and they know all the things. So it's okay to, you know, take anything they say and run with it and do it because, well, they're a doctor. They definitely wouldn't steer me down the wrong road. And people think that, you know, well, the doctor said it, so I can't not do that because my doctor told me to. There's nothing wrong with questioning what they're saying to you. There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, why are we doing this? Because, you know, I read about this over here. Could we try that instead? Why wouldn't that work? How come this is the only option? You know, and like question them. They're humans. They do make mistakes. And sometimes, you know, they are taught a certain way to do things in school, which is great. But if they don't ever veer from that, you know, they don't ever learn things too. So maybe it is, hey, just work together and find a solution that maybe is out of the box or it's something that they wouldn't think of and try it. And if it works, great. And if it doesn't, well, now you've crossed one more thing off the list that doesn't work. So you can open up the list for more stuff. So I think the first step is always, you know, making sure that you have a trustworthy relationship with your doctor and that you have someone that you can actually question who doesn't get pissed off at you for asking them questions.
Right. They have to work with you.
And if they do, they're probably not the doctor for you. A good doctor will definitely have an open mind about trying things outside of the box and not just sticking to, you know, the certain way of doing things. Once that fails, and sometimes it does, we've all been there. Sometimes it doesn't matter what how many doctors you go to, you're not going to find the one that meshes with you. Then I recommend start looking for the alternative healthcare practitioners. Look for that functional medical doctor. They're taught a more holistic view. They use a lot of herbs and supplements in their practices. That would be, you know, one of the next steps. Or find a clinical herbalist like myself. We work with the body, with herbs and supplements as well, diet and lifestyle changes. And we're very holistic. We look at you as a whole person and what's going on, not just that one symptom you're coming to us for. Right. There's naturopaths as well. So these are all just some good options, you know, to go try first, or I guess second, after the, you know, traditional medical doctors fail. And again, do your own research, start looking stuff up. Google is a great resource for finding things. And you can usually tell by reading something what is like really crazy and probably not going to work and what is like something that is, you know, actually whatever. And honestly, it's doesn't hurt to just try something. I mean, unless it's something that's going to kill you or is like deadly to the body, you know, don't do that. But like, if it's, you know, something that you feel safe trying, try it. Try it for a few months. You got to do things with herbs, especially for 2 to 3 months before you notice sometimes a huge change. Bodies are capable of amazing things and our bodies can and will heal, but they need the proper nutrients. They need the proper nutrition. They need the proper vitamins and minerals. And you can get a lot of those from herbs. And herbs add additional things on top of it that also help your body move in the right direction. But healing our bodies naturally is a process, and it takes time, and it's not something that's going to happen tomorrow. I think what happens a lot of times is that many of us, we've been in pain for so long, or we've been hurting for so long, or we've been that we want a quick fix. And so that's why we go to the doctors. They'll give us a pill that'll be a quick fix. It'll also work against our bodies, and it's synthetic, and our bodies can reject it. And you have issues with that because it's not a substance that's meant to be there, but we might feel better. So that's what we want. And I think you have to change your mindset when you're looking for a way to do it yourself, that it's not going to be quick. It's not going to be like, I take this herb and tomorrow I'm able to run laps around my house. You know, that's not going to happen, but you will get there. You just have to be patient. You have to trust that your body knows what it's doing, and you just have to stay the course. And I think that's one of the things that I emphasize so much with my clients, is that you have to just stay the course. I know that it feels like things aren't changing, but bodies are slow to heal sometimes, especially because like we can't pick and choose what our bodies choose to heal first. When you start down that journey of healing your body naturally, you may have, like I did, I have endometriosis and I have ADHD, and I was having, you know, all these other female issues that come concurrent with the endometriosis. When I started taking those herbs, they did it automatically, immediately. My body's like, you know what? Let's fix your uterus first. It started fixing my acid reflux first, because that was probably an easier thing to tackle. So it fixed that first. Yeah. And then I have really bad joint pain from a bad hip that I have, and that started feeling better. And then, like, you know, 6 months down the road, I'm like, hey, my periods aren't so bad. You know what I mean? Like, you don't, it would be nice to be able to pick and choose what we're fixing when we're healing things naturally, but we don't get to do that. Our bodies pick and choose.
What I love about that, though, I mean, you just nailed something that most people don't take into consideration, and you probably know what I'm going to say, is that, well, while we have a quick fix with that medicine, it's 100%, 100% chance that medicine's not going to touch any of those other things. I mean, you're not, that's what holistic health is all about, is that you're doing something good for your body, and then your body gets to go, hey, you just gave me the universal tool. Cool. Now I can go fix this, and I can fix this, and I can fix this. I can fix all the things that I know that are wrong, that you maybe don't even know that are wrong, because you like no symptoms, right? Like you had with your infection. But no, medicine's going to do that. Medicine's like specifically for this. Oh, and by the way, it's going to hurt the other stuff because it has side effects, but it's going to definitely like help you feel better, but it's going to totally destroy the other options, you know, for you later. But this is like the number one way to just start attacking things in your body that you may not even know are going on or even related, but your body now has the option, has the possibility and the opportunity to go heal all the other things that it knows are going on and are related that you just didn't even know. It's like amazing because
most people don't understand that really that our body is made up of a bunch of different types of systems that are interdependent on one another. So when we have one issue that is really showing itself, it's causing the issue of the day, the primary issue, the root cause could be something completely different.
Yeah, and for sure.
And so when we go to the doctor, he's only focused on the cut. He's only focused on the wound, and there he's going to give you the medication for that. So they're just putting a Band-Aid on it most of the time. And you know, we live in one of the key things I think you were saying is that how we think, especially in this country, in this culture of, I want a quick fix. We want a quick fix when it comes to losing weight. We want a quick fix when it comes to getting past a pandemic. We want a quick fix just getting through these things and being successful at those things. And we don't understand that a lot of these things, the right things, the healthy things, take time. And so, yes, doctors, some doctors are great, and we should go and pursue those things to really help to diagnose what might be going on with you. But when you run into roadblocks like you have, like I have, really trying to open your mind on what other possibilities. This is the thing. We get so locked in to this microwave society. Okay, that we want it done really, really quick. We want it done today. Yeah. we are willing to look past that, to look, open our minds a little bit more. So if you're listening to this, you're watching this, I want to encourage you, if you are suffering through some sort of illness or some sort of issue, start looking at other possibilities here. It can't be always just this quick fix. Yes, you could take some medication and the pain may go away. It may seem like you have your energy back, but what other things aren't being addressed, or what other types of side effects are you now experiencing either now or down the road? There's been many, many medications mm-hmm. that I have been on that if I had continued being on, I would have had other problems down the road.
Same for our daughter.
Right?
Totally.
Exactly. So, and one of the other things you had said that I thought was very important is really not challenging your doctor is the wrong word, but being an advocate for yourself, because mm-hmm. he or she, your doctor may know the scientific principles and everything that they have learned in school and what they have learned on the job in their mm-hmm. practice. Yes.
Yeah.
But we are all individuals and we know our bodies. We have to get to know our bodies. I think that's what it's all about. We need to know what we are feeling, what we're going through, and what our medical history is, what's our family history, and what's right for us. When you are choosing your doctor, do you want that doctor that has mm-hmm. is really set in their ways? They just chug along in their practice, and they may have been in their practice for 20, 30 years, but they're not reading up on the latest clinical studies. Are they going mm-hmm. to other types of clinical type seminars, or going and get re-educated on different practices and different techniques? I know for me, when I'm looking for my cardiologist, that's what I'm looking for. I've had cardiologists that, they've been there for many, many years, but they're not willing to try other things.
Yeah.
So I'm more of a person that I want a doctor, and this isn't an age thing. It's a mind thing. It's what kind of person my doctor is he or she willing to think outside the box and willing to mm-hmm. go down that road with me, because I was diagnosed with my disease like you very young, and so I wanted to live a full life. I want to live a full life, so I'm all about a doctor that wants me to do that, and they're willing to walk down mm-hmm. that journey with me and explore it with me, because there have been things that they have discovered through my journey that they end up using for other people.
Yeah, because exactly right. And that should be something that's a benefit to the doctor too. So they would have a benefit of working with you.
Yeah, for sure.
So can you tell us more about how you're helping clients? So when somebody comes to you with something, like what is just kind of like explain what is it that you do for people, so that people that don't understand herbalist, what does that mean? Like, what is it that you're doing? And then how would you approach somebody who, say, came to you with something, like what's the product, not the actual protocol, but like what's the plan look like? What would it be like to work with you?
Yeah, definitely. The first step is always we do a little bit of chatting before I ever even have you purchase a package with me, to make sure we're a good fit, make sure that we have the same view on things, make sure that my approach to this is something that you're like, oh yeah, that works for me, and I would be, good with this. Because I think it's very important, like we've already talked about, to really feel connected to your practitioner, to feel like, you can trust them. They're going to have a good relationship with you. They're listening to you. If you're talking to somebody, like, interviewing them, you should interview all your practitioners, even the medical ones, everything. Yep. Talk to them first before you ever agree. Because if you can tell, your intuition will be like, oh, I don't want that person for whatever reason. It doesn't even matter what the reason is. Go find someone else if you're feeling off in any way. So I always chat with them. I offer that ability to sign up, chat with me for like 30 minutes, we can talk. And also I kind of get a good feel at the time, like what their issue is and what's going on. And if that's something that is something I'm willing to not only tackle, but have experience with, because there's some stuff that people come to me for that I'm like, look, I would love to help you, but that's A, outside of my area of expertise. And B, that is something that at this point in time, you do need to see a medical doctor for, get it a little more under control. And then we can go back, because currently right now, if I start treating you, the possibility of something severely terrible happening to you is high. And I'm not willing to have that happen to you. Yeah. So it kind of gives us a good starting point and a reference. From there, once we are agreed that we are a good fit and that, you know, I'm able to work with whatever issues they're having, then they go ahead and they set up what I call my wellness consultation package. This is where they get a 90-minute intake consultation. They fill out a form that gives me all of their health history, all the stuff I need to know. It's about like 5 or 6 pages. It's really in depth. And then that also comes with a follow-up appointment in there and a protocol, meaning that I set up all the steps for them to follow. So they set that up. I get all the forms, they fill out the forms, send them back to me. I look those over prior to our consultation, and then we meet for the consultation. And in that hour and a half, I, you know, ask questions about stuff that I was reading in their intake form. We verify some things that, you know, okay, well, you wrote this. What does that mean? How is this looking? What about this? You know, and I let them talk. I get a really good feel for their history. And sometimes I'll be asking the questions that they're like, but I came to you because my stomach's hurting, and I'm asking them about, like, you know, their breathing, and they're like, what does that have to do with anything, you know? And so it is a very holistic approach. My form goes through everybody's system. It goes through nutrition. It goes through lifestyle, things that they are doing or not doing. And, you know, so I can get a really clear picture of what's going on. So after the consultation and really in depth, I'll have pages and pages of notes that I have taken about different things. And usually by the end of it, I'll have a really good idea of what herbs would work best for them, what's really the root cause. They think it's this because that's where the symptom is. That's where their body is screaming, hey, I need help. But it's really this over here right. That's bothering them. And so from there, I will go ahead and I will formulate whatever herbal preparations we would need to address those. So talk with the client first, like, hey, you know, would you be willing to take a tincture? They can be a little strong. They don't taste good, but you have to take a tiny bit, you know, 3 times a day. Whereas if I make you a tea, you have to drink 3 cups of this 3 times a day. And if it tastes crappy, I try not to make them that way. But sometimes, you know, this is a actual herbal medicine. It is medicine. It doesn't always taste good. Yeah. It might not taste good. You might have to take a really crappy cup of tea 3 times a day. You know, are you willing to do that? And check out their lifestyle is. If there's someone who's working like at a corporate job, like, you know, 7 days a week and they don't have any time, a tea's probably not going to work for them because they're not going to sit there and have time to boil water and brew a tea. So that's where we would be like, well, tincture is best because you can carry this bottle with you anywhere, dose it out and take it, right? So we get the forms of the preparations that are best for them. And then I go ahead and I sit down based on their symptoms, what they're talking about and how I feel. I formulate each individual preparation for that person. So as a custom preparation, it's for their specific issues. So, you know, what works for Javi, what work for you, yeah. You know, kind of a thing. So if you needed something, you would get something completely different than he would. Mm-hmm. So that it's specified for your body. From there, then I write up the protocol step by step of, okay, first we're going to address this. So we're going to start taking this and we're going to do that. And then, like, you know, a few weeks later, we're going to start this and then we're going to address this over here and we're going to do that. And nutrition. It's super important for any problem. So I do a lot of nutrition teaching and consultations about that, about this is what you need to add. You need to have this. And a lot of times the herbs that I pick are because they provide, you know, lots of the vitamins that they seem to be missing after, you know, doing the consultation, or they provide the minerals that they need. And it's a way to get them in them in a more bioavailable way with spending less money as well. Because you can go to the store and, yeah, you can buy the supplement. But supplements are sometimes hard to determine if you're truly getting what you're getting or what they say yeah. You're supposed to get, because every company has like their own way of doing things and there's no like set, you know, standard for that. So it can be hit and miss sometimes. Plus, again, a lot of them are not natural. And so your body is still synthetic and it's not absorbing what it should. So herbs can be a really good way to get some of those supplements and, you know, for vitamins and minerals in a more bioavailable way. So then they follow the protocol, they do the follow-up appointment, they can schedule any more if they want. And we kind of follow through with that. Typically, those are clients who aren't going to require a lot of one-on-one. They maybe have a history of some, you know, like knowledge of alternative health in their past. So they're, you know, they feel more comfortable saying, hey, here's their protocol, I'll follow it, and I'll just call you when I need refills of my preparations. Then I also offer a one-on-one 3-month wellness program, which works for more people who need like more one-on-one support. Yeah. I tend to lean toward that for my ADHD clients and my clients who come to me for women's health issues, like endometriosis, PCOS, that kind of stuff. They, having that one-on-one when you're switching basically like your whole life up is much more important for them and much more necessary. So we tend to work really close one-on-one. We have weekly coaching calls, weekly follow-ups with how things are going. They have a much more detailed protocol that's much more, okay, we're following this and then we're doing that. There is another class that they're required to take that I have made that's called Nutrition for Happy Healthy Hormones. And so they take that whole course on that and go through there, and that gives them all the steps to follow to change up their diet as well.
So you've hit,
and so we do that one.
You've hit all of the, like checked all the boxes. So I love that you're like, listen, you cannot expect that I'm going to give you herbs and then not change anything about your nutrition, and then somehow this is going to magic. Like it's not magic, you guys. This is about allowing a position in your body, right? This is why it's not woo-woo. People are like, it's woo-woo. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's woo-woo only if someone's waving a magic wand over you and you're not changing anything about your life. No. This is not this is not like a 10-minute meditation and like, woo, we're good. Like something magical happened. No, you're doing work and you're changing your lifestyle and you're changing your habits and you're doing something for yourself. This is work. Okay. Yeah. It's not that's when it comes, that goes out of the window. It's not about a belief. It's about science. Okay. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Is that, I love that you're checking all the boxes and you're really thorough. Do you do blood work or anything to kind of see people's levels and things like that?
I can't officially order blood work, but depending on what's going on, I will have them go to their physician if they have one or somewhere, and I give them a list of what I need. And I am telling you, the stuff that we've gotten back that is not being treated by their medical doctors, who have also told them that there's not a problem, I'm going...
Oh, so that's hard. Yeah.
Like one client came to me because she was very exhausted. She's like, I'm tired all the time. She's like, I have no energy. She's like, this is totally not normal for me. She goes, I literally have been laying on my couch for like 3 days, unable to get up. She's like, something is wrong. I've gone to my doctor. She goes, they've done a little bit of blood work and stuff. And they basically are like, oh, well, you know, you're just kind of exhausted. Here, take this pill to help you sleep better at night. And she's like, it's not doing anything. She goes, I was sleeping fine. She's like, it's not that. So, you know, what could be going on? So after doing the thorough intake with her and going through the form, I was like looking at this and I'm like, well, you're not eating very many things that contain iron or help your body absorb iron that you get from other sources. And I'm like, so I need you to go back to your doctor. I need you to get this, and this lab work run, and, you know, send me the results when you get them and then we'll meet back together. So she does this and she sends it back to me, and her ferritin level, which is like the amount of iron that's like in your blood that's usable for your body, was at a critical low value.
Wow.
When they came back, and I was like, okay, I said, well, this is actually beyond my scope. This is critically low. What you need to do is go back to your doctor. You need to get an iron transfusion. Once you get this iron transfusion, then we can start working on herbs. But in the meantime, this is too low for me to safely manage and help you with.
And thank you for that, because I think I think a lot of people don't believe that people that are in the natural alternative medicine space actually consider these things responsibly. So I really love that you do, because maybe not everybody does. Maybe they're partially right. And that's a human thing. I think that not everybody, medical doctors aren't being responsible too sometimes. I mean, people, there are good and there are irresponsible people in every space. But I love that you are proving that there are people in the alternative medicine space that do think through these things and go, well, this, okay, herbs don't cure everything, guys. Like, you have to go back to your doctor. I mean, people have tried.
I wish they did.
Yeah, I know. I know. And there are alternative medicines out there that do a lot of really great things for our bodies. And so I don't love when people say, oh, it does everything. And I'm like, it's not going to do a heart transplant. Okay. I mean, come on. So let's talk about medical stuff that needs to happen. But I love that you're saying, no, you need to go have this thing, this very important thing done. And then we're going to talk about maintaining and improving your life. Like, we're going to talk about actually healing your body mm-hmm. and repositioning it to do its thing that it does is one thing. And then tackling an acute medical issue is a totally different thing. So I love that you're like drawing the line. Well, because you also are an RN, so you understand these things. Yeah. You're like, no, this is a really serious thing. You need to go do it. So
for sure,
this has been really enlightening for me today, as far as just the, like, I think probably anyone watching this too, understanding the actual depth and level that you can go, like that there are even master herbalists. Like, what is, you know, that even? So I love that we've discussed today, that we've discovered like what you do, like that this is even possible, that this is out there, that you can advocate for yourself. There are options, even down to, hey, if you guys want to live in an RV, that's an option too.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Or if someone tells you you can't have kids, I'm telling you, figure out a way to have kids. Like, you can do it. So, you know, there's all kinds of things. Don't take no for an answer, you know?
I think along that line, there's a lot of belief that herbalists, especially, are just these people that like live in the forest surrounded by, you know, and then one day they walked out and they discovered that they chewed on this plant and I got some miracle cure. And now they're selling it to everybody. They're going, oh yeah, this will cure you. And that they're just some random person that decided to like plants and, you know, start doing that. I don't think what many people realize, especially in this country, because herbalists are viewed as, you know, close to medical doctors in other countries, people will go to them first for things, you know. Over here, we're viewed as like some kind of woo-hoo people who are, like you said, waving a magic wand and they're poofed and they're better. But what they don't realize is that we go through extensive training. I have 4 years of school for to be a herbalist, 4 years of college. I have over 600 hours of training on just what herbs are, the pharmacokinetic, you know, energy behind them, how they work in your body, how this works over here, how it works with this system, but doesn't work with that one. So don't give it for that. You know what I mean? Like, there's a whole biology behind it and science that we learn. And then we're trained on, you know, here's how to make this preparation safely and in a standard dosing way. Like, there is very much that if I make this, I can make it the same way every time. And it's the same dose for every person. Like, I can figure that out. You know what I mean? Like, there's ways we go through time. There's so much math involved and science involved in being a herbalist. And there's a whole course on anatomy and physiology and the body systems. I mean, that was easy for me because I'd already done it as a nurse, but those who don't have that is a, you know, they get that too. Like, we get that whole well-rounded thing. And I think that most people think that we are just like some random person who decided one day that we were going to start hawking herbs to people. And that's just not how it works.
It's not how it works. And I think a lot of times people don't understand if it's not in a pill bottle, that it's not science, and they think it's not science. Mm-hmm. And really anything that has to do with biology is. And so you just have to know what you're doing. It's the science is knowing how it works. And that's exactly what you do. You know how it works. So I really appreciate you coming on our show today, Shannon. This has been, it's like I said, super enlightening. I think that this option, people knowing about it, how it works and it is out there, is great. And I love that you came on here and shared this today. Can you tell our audience how they can get a hold of you if they want to check you out, or if they want to, you know, hire you or consult with you or even just get to know you? Is there a way that they can get a hold of you the quickest? How can they get a hold of you?
Yes, definitely. One of the quickest ways is probably going to my website. It's thenomadapothecary.com. I picked that name because apothecary is an old-fashioned pharmacist that makes compounds, medications themselves, which is what I do with my herbal medicine, and we're nomads, so I guess it worked out well. So there's that. So thenomadapothecary.com, there's a contact button. There's a bunch of like pre-made kind of herbal remedies that you can, you know, if you want to just say, hey, I'm having this problem, let me just go ahead and purchase this and see if it works. You're more than welcome to do that and try it. And then if it doesn't, hey, come see me and we'll, you know, talk through it and see if there's something else you need. The next best way is through my Instagram account, which is at Health by Nomads. That is where I spend the majority of my time because I find a lot of my clients there, and I think it works better for some reason that site does with what I do. And then I do have a Facebook group that you can join. It's the ADHD Sisterhood and Holistic Health Support. I as I said, majority of my clients, since I have ADHD, also seem to have ADHD. So I, you know, tend to treat and manage more people with ADHD, but you are more than welcome to see me for other problems as well. So that's my free group, and I'm in there a lot giving free lives and information and valuable things that you can use and kind of try a DIY way if you prefer before working together.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Listen, and you know, I'm going to go ahead and drop all those links below this broadcast also, just so that you guys have access to that right away without having to remember what she said. So thanks so much again for coming on, Shannon. I will make sure that we send this out to anybody that we know that needs something like this, for sure. So I appreciate you coming on.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed being here today.
All right.
I'm glad I could share my story.
Yeah.
Thank absolutely. You. Have a good day.
We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
Bye.
So, you know, it's funny. I just wanted to say before we go that this is like, this is something that's out there. Most people don't realize it's out there. I think that it definitely feels like, you know, the last resort. I think people are like, oh, I don't know if that's going to work. I want to try. I mean, look, she did. She tried so many things, but she's right. If you're on doctor number seven, I mean, clearly this isn't the route. It's not that your doctors right. are screwing you over. Right. It's not that they're letting you. It's not that you're doing something wrong. It just may not be the route. I mean, with our daughter,
it's been the
same
that.
Way. There's just things that,
We saw how many doctors, you know?
Well, I mean, we had, for instance, she had an impacted bowel one time. Like it was just kids have this sometimes. And we were eating plant-based and like there was really no reason for it. And they wanted to, you know, douse her with like all of these like Miralax and like whatever. Like, and I'm just like, I'm not doing that to my kid like over and over and it's not going to fix it. And I did all my own research and ended up doing like vitamins and a vitamin flush and stuff like that. And she's perfectly fine now. Like I was able to completely reverse what was going on, heal her gut through the natural remedies.
And what does the doctor say?
And the doctor, when I told her, I said, how dare you try to put my daughter on something that was going to obviously make her sicker and not listen to me about what I was doing. Because she goes,
they wanted her to be on that for a long period of time.
Yeah, well, Miralax has been proven to give kids like seizures over time and learning disabilities. So, I mean, there's lawsuits. But and that's why I said, why are you telling me to give her this? Why don't you just listen to like maybe what I have as an option? And so it's not that I needed her permission, but she goes, well, it's always good to have natural options. Right. I was like, except that's the one that worked. Yeah. So thanks for your support. But and again, that's, you got to fire your doctor at that point. I mean, it's just one of those things where, you know, why am I going to you if I'm literally getting nowhere. So I love that, you know, she was like, you have to go through the process sometimes, and it does take time, but would you rather take time healing yourself and being patient with that process or take time fighting with people when you're not getting answers? Because either way, it's going to take time and it's either way going to take money.
Yeah.
You know absolutely. What I mean? So I love that this was just so good for me today. And by the way, it just made me super inspired that we really do need to get an RV. Like I'm like, man, we need to get that RV and get on the road, man.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Cause we love traveling.
Absolutely. Love
traveling. All right. So I hope you guys got something out of today. If you did, please hit like we said before, share this with your friends and family. We really hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. Anything else?
No, and listen, again, if you guys want to go deeper with us, if this is something that, you know, you're just like, I need help with my health. I need help with, getting my life back on track. I need help with my nutrition. Make sure you jump into our free health Facebook group. That is facebook.com/groups/adaptandovercomeyourhealth. This is something that she's absolutely right. Nutrition is the foundation of the way you're going to feed your body, how you're going to heal your body. And then herbs on top of that, I mean, they absolutely add to every single thing you're doing, but you can't just do that. You have to get your lifestyle in order. And if you don't want to do that alone, and you shouldn't have to, make sure you hit us up because that's what we're here for. We're here to help you to get that on track. You can always get a free consultation with us too if you want to talk about exactly what it is that's going on and the options that you have in front of you. We would love to help.
All right, guys, have a wonderful weekend and we will see you next time.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.